tuned directly to David Lee Roth. How about a little fire, Scarecrow? Sie haben sich direkt zu David Lee Roth dazu geschaltet. Wie wäre es mit etwas Feuer, Vogelscheuche?
Play some basketball.
All right, you squares.
All right, you squares.
Fire up this funk and let's have a toe.
A little bump and shove in a local pickup game,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah. Some of everything.
Hey, tell your wife to leave me alone.
Get your finger out of my face.
Animal!
Throw him out!
My biggest difficulty with this whole issue we're talking about, actually the person we're really talking about is 22-year-old Michael Axelrod. He's the guy who supposedly was hassling Davis from going into the stands, right? We're talking about the basketball player Antonio Davis, and he ran up into the stands, but from what I saw on the TV set, he didn't do anything. He didn't touch anybody. Just, you know, he kind of stood up and, you know,
he went to protect his wife.
He showed his size, right? And with the way things happen in the stands, and I don't care if it's at a sporting event, a political rally, it doesn't matter. There's always going to be some kind of altercations going out. That's the flavor of the week, is it not? My brother, what do you know about this? Go ahead.
Well, apparently, Davis's wife has a history of harassing people. For example, she harassed Latrell Sprewell, who in the past has choked his own coach. So she has the guts, basically, to go up to a man who's choked a grown man.
Somebody that already has a prior list of aggression, right?
Correct. Against his, supposed to be his, you know, boss, basically. And
she already
antagonized him.
She confronted that guy already. Who else has she hassled?
From what I heard, I don't remember. I believe it was a coach in the past. I'm not sure. I don't really remember exactly.
So you're saying she has a history, and this is public note.
She has a history of it, yes.
Okay, and does anybody know what actually happened? Did she poke a finger? Did she use a rolled-up magazine, or was it just words? What happened?
From what I saw on ESPN was she turned around and pointed at the guy, and the guy was pointing at security, basically calling him down, and
so nobody touched anybody.
I think she reached over to like touch his shoulder, like almost didn't look very aggressive, just kind of looked like a calm touch.
Was there an actual touch made?
I saw him either hit her hand away or move away from her hand.
Okay.
So there may have been slight contact, but it wasn't anything that was aggressive.
One of those deadly finger tragedies that has all too occurrent in today's popular sporting venue.
Yeah.
I can tell that she's emotionally scarred for life. This is going to cause a major change in her life, probably in the way she raises her kids and how she gets along with homeboy. And God, you know, God forbid, the next terrible thing will be that he suffers in the standings and she's got to go on to another basketball player. What do you think, Robin? Oh. This is where we separate the rock stars from the groupies, right?
We got a 22-year-old kid here, and he's saying, here's what he's saying that Kendra Davis, Mrs. Davis, tried to scratch him after he protested a call. And Axelrod is saying that he never laid a hand on Davis. And what happens is Antonio, and here's the quote, "I witnessed my wife being threatened by a man that I learned later to be intoxicated. I saw him touch her, and I know I should not have reacted the way I did, but I would have felt terrible if I didn't react."
Okay,
there was no time to call security.
Yeah, that's an understandable issue. However, running into the stands when you're as big as Animal, that's a scary proposition too, and I understand why he got suspended. Okay, it's one of those terrible can't win, can't lose situations, right? It's like they bring guys up into West Point, you know, who got kicked out of the Army after 30 good years because they disobeyed an order. What was the order? Take all 18 of your soldiers into this valley. All of those people would have been killed, right? Everybody knows that. He disobeyed an order, so he's still kicked out of the Army. Can't win, can't lose, just same old, right? So this guy, he's in very much in the right to go and protect his wife, but he's very much in the wrong to run into the stands. These guys are huge.
How else is he supposed to go protect his wife? And that's kind
exactly.
of an animal instinct, no pun intended.
No, exactly. But what they're doing is they're going to fine him. They're going to suspend him from X amount of games to prevent it from being a common occurrence. You know how we talk about hockey. I went to a fight and some hockey broke out.
Well, you know, there's a funny thing with hockey because at one point a few years ago, Wayne Gretzky, who's known as the Great One, and here's why, his wife, he was married to the beautiful, is married to the beautiful Janet Jones.
Sure.
And I think it was a playoff game, and he smacks a puck. Puck goes into the stands, knocks her in the face. He did not leave the game. She had to go to the hospital and he did not leave the game.
Different kind of an approach, well, isn't it?
That's why they called him the great one. Okay. But that's focus for you.
She probably stopped calling him the great one after that.
But who's this guy going to sue? Is he going to sue Davis? Is he going to sue the NBA? Is he going to sue the stadium?
It's called going down the list. He's going to start with everybody. He's going to start with the biggest people and work his way down. The team, the owners of the team, the venue, the security, the individual himself, on and on and on. He's going to work his way down the list, and they're all going to get ground into pieces by a lawyer who's working for a percentage. Everybody who's going to be sued is going to have to hire a lawyer for roughly $500 an hour. And they're going to run into, give or take, about $40,000 every 6 weeks of legal bills, each and every person who gets sued. You got a story here, Animal? You got something to say?
I think this is a good opening for our homeboy security, don't you think, Dave? They should hire us to bodyguard their wives and stuff when they come, you know, to the games. I think we can handle that, don't you? Homeboy security, you know? I think that's a big opening for us.
Did you just invent that?
No, that was you. You always call me homeboy security, so, you know, I think we can, like, go on and put us a little ad in the paper. All the basketball players, give us a call. We'll watch your family.
You're more dangerous than six Antonio Davises. Gino, you're on. Give us a call here. Gino, you're on. What do you think?
How are you?
Go ahead.
Hey, what I was thinking is basically, you know, I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. You don't go to Cleveland with a Steelers shirt on and start cheering for the Steelers if they do something great. So in essence, this woman had a history of, you know, kind of doing this, I guess. And so she's in the other town. She's mouthing off. You know, he should have just chained her down and not even sent her there. Or, you know, I mean, he shouldn't go in the stands. Like you said, these guys are animals. That'd be like a studio wrestler going in and just beating the heck out of somebody. I mean, you save her, entertainer. Did you ever go into the crowd and beat the heck out of somebody?
No, because I knew that I would get sued. However, this is an individual, you know, who got caught up in the moment. I think the biggest issue here is the guy who supposedly is damaged, the 22-year-old who's now indelibly scarred or whatever, and he's going to sue him. This guy's gotten fined for, what, $700,000? Something crazy like that. They're writing the number up here. $770,000. He's missing the games. Nobody got hurt. This is a major issue. Five games, he's out of the issue. Nobody got hurt. There's no bruises. There's no personal damage. There's no libel, no slander. And here comes this guy with a $1 million lawsuit. I got to question that. What do you think of his action there? Go ahead.
I don't think that a $1 million lawsuit, I definitely agree with you. He probably did something to tick the lady off. But although, you know, the NBA and these sports teams, they should put something in line where, you know, they should know what their penalty is going to be before they cross that line, because he should have just tapped somebody on his shoulder and said, you know what, tell my wife to come down here, escort her away or take her somewhere else.
I agree with you, and I think they're probably going to instate something like that, but I don't know if it's going to take hold. What I'd like to see change a little more is this litigation, because here comes this guy. Turns out this kid, this 22-year-old kid, his father is a prominent Democratic political consultant. You know what a political consultant is? It's called a sociologic arbiter. He knows what's going to push everybody's buttons. He knows what strings move the puppet. He knows what makes people upset. A political consultant was the one who told Hillary Clinton, when you go to the black convention, mention that the White House is being run by a plantation. Somebody is thinking these kinds of elements, okay? And whether or not it's being run by a plantation, like a plantation, is beside the point. He's pushing buttons. They're pulling strings here. And this is the individual behind the lawsuit. He's a political consultant who has worked with senators, Hillary Clinton, and Chicago Mayor Richard Daley. That's an interesting play. I don't think this guy's got a chance. What do you think, Robin?
Well, for one thing, I'd like to know, what is the lawsuit? What is he suing for? And the other thing is that it's saying...
I can tell you, but go ahead.
Go ahead. I'd like to know.
Oh, this is going to be evident. This is a generalization that they're all going to reach for. First, they're going to claim that his image and his reputation is permanently damaged by claiming he was intoxicated. That his future references, in case he wants to go to school or get a job or join the military or go into politics, is now indelibly marred by this smear, this libelous, cancerous, desperate attempt to destroy his good name and his father's good name is now invented in it, and he's suffered mental turmoil and trauma, Your Honor. Judge Judy, please arrest my case. Go ahead.
Well, you know, the reputation ruining should be that he's a panty waste, because it's saying that here's the way it goes, according to ESPN.com. According to Axelrod, he was sitting in the seventh row and booed the official's call. Kendra Davis came out of her seat. I didn't even pay attention to her. I thought she was going to the bathroom. Axelrod, who was sitting a couple of rows behind her, said she yelled at him to be quiet. Axelrod said he did not know she was Davis's wife until the player ran into the stands. Axelrod said Kendra put both hands on his face and that he motioned for security. And he said later that he was, I was glad she was done hitting me, but I didn't want her to hit anybody else.
You know what? I think this kid's a panty-waist sissy who grew up way too close to mommy while his deadbeat dad pursued his political career to the detriment of his own family. I think now that we walked through this a little bit together, that the biggest clown of the day is not the celebutard. Oh, no, it's not Tommy Lee. Oh, no, it's not Paris Hilton. Oh, no. The biggest celebutard of the whole day is David Axelrod, the prominent Democratic political consultant who's engineering this behind the scenes, or who has allowed his son to think that he's going to be successful in engineering a creepy, ugly, mismanaged, unfounded work of drivel. That's what this is. This is a guy who decided, uh-oh, this is my chance to make $1 million. You know what, kid? I hope you make $1 million, and I hope you start a nice drug habit. I hope you become an alcoholic, a wife-beating sissy who winds up in the joint where you belong for even thinking like this, you retard. 866-313-3733. Give me number 9. I'm so fine. Somebody says a wife is a loudmouth. Talk to me. Roth Radio. Go.
Good morning, David. How are you, sir? Congratulations. And Robin, it's refreshing to hear you guys in the morning.
Thank you.
I would like to say that neither one of these individuals, to me, is innocent. To me, both of them, the young punk, he was probably getting loud in the stands, saying a lot of stupid stuff. The wife, she strikes me as a woman who, you know, who's confrontational. She won't let, you know, she can get a little street, it looks like, if she wants to. And to me, the only victim here is Antonio. I mean, to me, he behaved like a gentleman. Natural instinct, you know, you see something going with your wife, but when you have a woman like that, she's going to put you in these kind of positions. You know what I'm saying?
I think he got collared into it, and it probably is the case where she's the brains of the bunch. You know, he went to protect, okay, and he didn't touch anybody. He stood there.
No,
you know,
he handled like a gentleman, I believe.
Yeah, and in terms of a couple of fans in the stands getting into each other's face, no blood was drawn, nobody got cut up, there were no weapons involved.
Yeah, nothing, Dave. When you have your wife there, I mean, me personally, I'm not a basketball player. I would not have my wife in that kind of atmosphere without me. You gotta understand, you're gonna have lowlifes like this in the stands.
I would.
And then, you know, you add, you mix that in with a woman that, you know, she wants to get loud and get stupid and, you know, try to put her fists up. It's a recipe for disaster.
And it's a recipe for, hey, let's get over it. Come on, this is the kind of issue that is supposed to happen without actual physical contact. You boo, and you yay, and you cheer, and you charge, and you beat the drums, and you threaten bloody murder to the other guy, and when the game is over, okay, let's go get a beer. That's how I learned it here. And that now, we're dealing with the kind of monkey business, like that gal who called and said, she said very legitimately, she was very honest, she says, hey, if a person on the subway like made like a finger meaning to me and yelled at me and hurt my feeling, then I would have a right to sue him. I think the villain of this whole one is the dad of this kid.
Check this out. Further in the article, it says Axelrod was escorted to the concourse by security, but he was allowed back into the arena and saw Ben Gordon's winning shot at the buzzer.
Oh, God bless him. So he got a little stiffy. And now he thinks he's going to make his tuition. Well, actually, this kind of a kid would never pay his own tuition, would he?
No, I don't think he's going to have to do that.
Be careful what you wish for, Junior. You're going to collect that money, and it's going to have the devil's teeth in it. It's going to become your personal occupation to live this down. I hope this haunts you like the ghost of Christmas forever.
You little Nancy boy.
Yeah. Okay, Brad, talk to me. Roth Radio, you think it's all about the money? What's up, Brad?
Nothing, bud. It's good to hear from you, man. I've been a big fan of you for years, man. I grew up listening to your music. But I want to comment, man. People sue for anything nowadays. You know what I mean?
I do.
I mean, and like you said, man, I want to totally agree with what Robin was talking about earlier about the subway thing. You know, you sue them for $1 million. People talk like that all the time, you know what I mean? But people sue for anything nowadays.
That's what they mean by a litigious society. I didn't know exactly what that word means, but it's from the word litigation. This is how our economy functions now. There are over 150,000 registered pass-at-the-bar attorneys in California alone, okay? This is a litigious society. Anything that happens becomes a lawsuit. We know this from the EMT. You want to know why it takes so many hours to become an EMT? Half of it is political and legal protocol. We have to learn to follow down the list of here's the thing I do first, here's the thing I do second, and it goes to what I do 13th, what I do 27th, and you will spend all of your time working through that because you're going to have to stand up in court someday. We would cut the shoes off of somebody from a horrifying traffic accident, and a lawyer would show up and triage up at the Our Lady of Mercy Hospital up in the North Bronx, show up trying to collect $200 for the boots. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The first thing we do when we get a heavy trauma victim, we cut off all of your clothes. Last thing we want is for you to gack and transition, okay? Something's hidden in there. You know, we would get these terrible trauma cases or gunshot victims. We got to locate all the trouble right there. Not unusual to pick up a homeless person, and there's ambulance-chasing attorneys who work all the best hospitals, the most active hospitals, actually, and they'll show up, and they'll charge you, well, he was wearing designer jeans, that's $300, and that was a Fiorucci t-shirt, and et cetera, et cetera. It's a homeless person. This is so routine. Larry Fishburne getting sued by his personal assistant, an unmarried gal, young, who got pregnant, etc. And she's claiming now, well, he fired me because I'm female. He fired me because I'm pregnant. No, darling. He fired you because your job is a 24/7 total commitment, just like it should be for your child. So wake up! And she's suing him. And you know what? She's going to win. She's going to mash him because he's going to have to pay $500 an hour. And she's got some geek who's going to work on commission. They're going to stretch him over a 7-year rack if they have to.
I have two questions. One is, where can I get $200 boots? And the other one is, the coffee that I just drank is really making me a little sick, and I think I'm going to call my lawyer.
You're going to sue Starbucks? I want in on this.
Oh, me
no,
too.
I'm going right for you, baby.
I found a finger in my Starbucks.
Hey, that wasn't a finger.
I think it was Leif Garrett's finger. Oh, no. Oh, I do. 866-313-3733. Higher responsibilities. Sounds lofty. Warren, you're on Roth Radio. Speak to us.
Hi, Dave. Good morning. How are you?
Extraordinary.
Well, let's first of all talk about what Uncle Ben said to Peter Parker as they sat in the Delta 88 across from the library. With great power comes great responsibility.
Accepted.
I think on the part of the player, that's why they make the big bucks. I mean, yeah, they're still human beings. They still react. But that's why they make the big money. They're held to a higher esteem, to a higher responsibility.
Okay, so you're reflecting that they're like police officers. Yeah, everybody's a human being, but some people have to be a little less human and be, especially if you're carrying a sidearm, especially if you're the size of animal, especially if you're used to making contact in a physical sport and just 2 seconds ago you were doing that. You're saying that they're supposed to be able to observe fire control, they call it, a little more efficiently. Is that true?
Is ultimately the better part of valor, and I guess that's what the situation is there. I also got to wonder about his vision. His wife must be the most babelicious, you know, chick on the planet, that he could see all the way into the stand and pinpoint her during execution of a game. That kind of makes me wonder right there. But then there's the responsibility of the fans themselves. You know, pretty soon they'll let you shoot up in the stands. They prime the situation. They let you drink. They let you do, you know, I mean, what's next? I mean, they basically prime the situation. Now, as I mentioned earlier, there's also the imposing threat. You know, contact doesn't have to be made. In the martial arts, when you're trained in martial arts, it's about being able to read the threat. The contact doesn't have to be made, but if you read the threat, And the threat is coming your way, you naturally react to it. And
so again, what you're saying is that Axelrod, or the kid, has every right to sue him. Is that correct?
Well, anybody, as my lawyer told me, anybody can sue anyone for anything.
And but
anybody can sue anyone for anything. So as far as the right to sue, we all, I think under today's Constitution, we all have the right to sue.
Okay, all right.
Whether it's justified or vindicated.
You know what? I love the way you say it. I couldn't possibly disagree with every syllable more. we have the right to sue. Empirically, governmentally, federally, we have the right to sue. But morally, this kid's out of line. Morally, daddy should wake up and correct this southern direction course. The guy got sued. He got fined. He was out of line. And leave your wife home next time, homeboy. Let's play some ball, animal.
David Lee Roth, weekday mornings.
Nisha moja kwa moja kwa David Lee Roth, moto kidogo na sanamu za kushangaa. You tune directly to David Lee Roth. How about a little fire, Scarecrow?
Spin it up one time, baby. So, Roth Radio, ruining it for everybody else. New York, Philadelphia, Dallas, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach. Robin, we only have a couple more segments here. Who ever thought that it would last this long, like Columbus said?
Holy moly. The longest day of my life. A day that lasted 17.
There you go. We only have one explosion per show, but it lasts all show. I called Robin a couple days before the show. We didn't have any guests. And I said, hey, who do I know that's fun to go drinking with? That's kind of what we've been doing here, right? This isn't morning
radio. My pancreas is killing me.
This isn't morning radio. This is after hours radio. We stayed up. Roth Radio, New York, Philadelphia, Dallas, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach, and robinbakay.com. B-A-K-A-Y, robinbakay.com. And watch for her husband, Nick, who was here earlier, about a week ago or so. Nick Bakay on the NFL Network, ESPN Magazine, and the King of Queens. What voices does he do on that specifically?
He's the voice of the Heffernan's television. He's a writer on the show, but he's also the voice of the Heffernan's TV, Doug and Carrie Heffernan.
And what else?
Characters. He's Salem the Cat from Sabrina the Teenage Witch, and he is Norbert the Blonde Beaver on the Angry Beavers.
You can't say beaver on this show. I'm going to sue you.
It's the beaver.
No, you can't say it twice. Now I'm really going to sue you.
Beavers with a big slappy tail.
Oh, the big slappy tail, beaver.
Slappy. You know,
that sounds like a federal injunction to me, Bakay. A restraining order.
And speaking of big slappy tails, I just noticed on the internet that Playboy magazine is opening in Indonesia.
Playboy magazine, the club, or Playboy magazine?
No, Playboy magazine, the magazine, and that.
This is the first time.
Yes, it's the first time, and they're not really going to go all nude because it's a very Muslim.
It's
place.
Islamic territory. Absolutely,
yeah,
that is.
I think they're going to show either eyes or ankles.
Ooh. One night only in Kabul.
Yeah, but they say it's going to be like Maxim or FHM. It's going to be scantily clad, but not nude.
That's wild. You'll know that the Islamic nations have really become liberated when they have their first lap dance.
The 71 black-eyed virgins is going to have a whole new meaning.
Ouch. Out of the burqa and onto the pole. Okay, New York newspaper, New York Post, where we get all of our best information. Brewing up better sex lives. Here's an interest. Scientists say that women might be able to perk up their sex lives by percolating a pot of coffee, okay? You know what? It makes me think of my last relationship. Ah, little princess, bending over the stove, but I can't see the stove. Drinking coffee appears to increase femali. Drinking Red Bull ruins my diction. Drinking coffee appears to increase female libido by stimulating the part of the brain that controls arousal. What if you pour some of it on the part of the body that the brain is connected to and lick it off? That's win-win. That's the trifecta. That's the exacta. You win, I win, the coffee company wins. Conjugal bliss. Up after this. The caveat from the scientists, however, is that this is only works for women who don't drink coffee regularly. Does coffee work on you like as much? You drink coffee regularly, huh?
Well, I do since I've been in New York, but normally I have one cup a day.
And how many do you have here?
Well, because of the show, I've been drinking probably 3 or 4 cups.
Okay, and does the fourth cup have the same impact on you as the first one? I don't know. Does it?
No, but it's funny though, I have the coffee crash now.
You mean
which
you,
is why I've been drinking four cups. Like, I'll get really up and like you on a Red Bull. And but 10 minutes later,
wait a minute,
I'm like,
wait a minute.
That's allegations, Dave.
That's not just the Red Bull.
I have that's right. It's your tricks with sugar.
I have a surgically implanted disco beat. No, listen. Thank you. Look what I'm pointing at. That's where it comes out. I have the craziest way of adjusting the volume.
Hey, I can hear your music from here.
That's right. Now, that's one half of a bad joke, actually. It's actually one half of a true thing. People ask me why I'm in radio, and I remember my first girl, Arlene, back in the early 70s, this actually happened to people, is she had those aluminum-type fillings before they realized that's bad for you, whatever. And occasionally, when we would drive by KWKW, the Spanish radio station that had the tower in Pasadena, California, you could hear the radio transmission through her fillings. Oh, I invented the best way of raising the volume. But if we'd had coffee, we could have done it better, evidently, judging from the post. The scientists ran tests on 100 female rats and concluded that the rats had never had caffeine before. In humans, it might enhance the sexual experience, and we can't pry those little skeeters apart. All right, I made that up.
Now the rats will only have latte.
Running away like a couple of crazed rats, huh? Roth Radio, it's all going down like water out of a bucket. Animal, do you drink coffee? Is that a drug you like?
Oh, no, I never drank coffee. I tried it once, and it wasn't for me. I couldn't get past the bitterness, and it even tastes bitter with sugar in it and stuff.
So How old were you, first cup?
Probably 10. I was used to, because, like, we don't throw nothing away. Like, we have biscuits on Sunday. Monday, they real hard, so you got to dip them in the coffee in order to eat them. So, you know, that's close as I ever came to coffee.
It's kind of like turning your underwear inside out. Yeah. You get another 3 days. Another 3 days. Okay.
Another three. I'm not a coffee drinker. I'm more like a tea drinker.
What about Hutch? You're a tea drinker, right? You're a Brit.
I do both, but I drink like a pint of tea
in
the morning.
Stop there. That verb, I do both. That's a verb.
You're supposed to be from Alabama saying that. Now, you're not from Alabama, are you? I do both.
I'm from Birmingham.
Oh, Birmingham, close. Alabama. Yeah, you're close. Okay. I'll let you slide with that. I do both.
Half play.
Y'all come a cup of coffee now.
I do both.
See, the thing is he said, I do both. That's a drug term. You do drugs. You drink coffee. You're supposed to drink tea. You do drugs, right? And there's a Freudian slip.
That's a Freudian slip, yeah, you're right.
He didn't even think about it, and most people talk about it like that. He says, oh, I do both. I do coffee, I do tea. Which one is stronger, do you think?
Coffee's definitely stronger, although they say caffeine pound for pound. Tea has got more caffeine, but when you water it down, you know, and you do the whole thing with the tea, it doesn't have as much caffeine in it as coffee.
Nevertheless, I don't think that the great industrial revolutions either in America or China or anywhere could have happened without that extra drug. And it is a drug.
Oh, you're right.
Is Starbucks a drug dispensary now? I think it is.
Hey, Hutch, you ever had any Armenian coffee?
What's Armenian coffee?
Is that Turkish coffee? Like the mud?
I'm telling you, it will wake up the dead. Yeah. Dog. It's so strong. It's like the bottom is like mud when you drink it. Man.
Okay, yeah, we call in Texas, we're broadcasting to Dallas and a whole lot of other cities, that's called cowboy coffee. Oh, yeah. And what you do around the campsite is you take the coffee grind and you put it right in the water and boil it up with it in the water. You make like a mud, right? Yeah. Like this.
Do you strain it?
Well, wait.
No.
There's two ways to strain it, okay? All good, real cowboys wear three socks. So what you can do literally, and I've done this before, is you pour it through a sock and the grinds get caught in the sock, and you know the coffee comes through, and you pour that into the different cups. You give it a squeeze like this, seriously, okay? And the other way is to go round. You take the quintessential Texas, you know, coffee pot that you put right on the fire out in the woods, right? Like that. And it's got that little wire handle on it, okay? And you pick up the pot with, you made the mud in there. You put like a big handful of coffee right in the water, boil it. And you pick it up, and you know how, like, when you were at the beach as a kid, when you took a bucket of water and you start to spin around faster and faster.
You were your own centrifuge.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And what happens is as you spin around faster and faster, your arm begins to extend and the coffee pot is now perpendicular to the ground. And you spin, you know, if you're right-handed, go counterclockwise, believe me. This is how spin art got invented. Oh, really? A dollar for every time I accidentally let go of the hot handle. That's why I can't find anybody to go camping with me anymore. Ah, the great outdoors! Let's get some coffee, animals!
David Lee Roth, weekday mornings.
Umelinganisha moja kwa moja kwa David Lee Roth, moto kidogo na sanamu za kushangaa. You tune directly to David Lee Roth. How about a little fire, Scarecrow?
Brewing Up Better Sex Lives. That's the title of the article. I thought that was the title of our radio show, Roth Radio. Helping sex lives across the nation. New York, Dallas, Philly, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach, Yakima. You thought I forgot you, baby. I did not. Coffee is one of the best drugs around now. One nation wired together, huh? How long? Use a pun, go to jail. I saw the look. Robin Bakai, thanks for joining us here. You've been amazing these last week or so. You going to come back and join us up?
I would love to.
Please do. My sister is going to come up next week, and she's going to ruin this all for me.
Tell us about your sister, Dave.
I'm going to let my sister talk about it. I told you, this is like my reality show. Then you know, I could never really do a reality show because everybody would go, well, I thought that too. Oh, I always suspected that. And I knew he did those. I tried to put out my sex tape. I figured, you know, someday I may be sitting next to Paris Hilton in first class, and I go, hey, you know, I can meet her on a parallel plane there. I'm postmodern, too, but nobody's interested. Not headlines.
Well, please don't ask your sister.
How long is it going to be before somebody sues Starbucks? They drink too much coffee. They get a little bit of a heart palpation, right? They crash the Toyota, and then they sue the coffee company, you know, for mislabeling. Or. You know what they're going to do? They're going to go, I didn't know that espresso was weaker than regular coffee. I thought it was stronger. I drank two espressos not knowing that it was weaker than regular coffee, and that's why I botched the heart surgery.
Is that a fact?
Oh, yeah. Think about it. Regular coffee sits in the grounds, especially when you make it cowboy style, like I just discussed, right? You let it sit. Oh, come on.
I'll never forget that, spinning around with a coffee pot.
What she's referring to, I just explained how we do it camp style. We keep one of those old cowboy coffee pots. It's made out of tin or whatever with the little wire handle. And you put it on in the middle of the fire. And you put the coffee right in the water, and you let it boil and boil and boil and boil, right, until it becomes like mud. And the way that you get the coffee grounds to sink to the bottom of the pot before you pour it into everybody's cup is you pick a genius. Oh, yeah, it's like Iron Chef out there. And I usually volunteer, and you know, and you pick the pot up. And you, like a kid at the beach with a beach pail full of salt water, you start to spin around kind of slow and you create centrifugal force until finally you're spinning around and spinning around and spinning around and your arm is fully extended, right? And as you're spinning around, it takes like four spins to get the coffee to sink to the bottom of the pot because now your arm is fully extended straight out and you're spinning and you're spinning and you're spinning, but you can't just stop. It takes three spins of slowing down. Then very gently you pour out the coffee, right? $10 for every time I got to the third spin and couldn't hold the burning hot little wire handle. And you go around and you go around, coffee's on it. Ow! And you leave with something that looks like a combination of the Shroud of Turin meets a print of the baby Elvis on the Canyonland walls.
Coffee on white velvet.
That's right. How soon before somebody sues Red Bull? How soon before somebody sues Crunk or what? Do you drink energy drinks, Animal? Do you drink that stuff at all?
Just start drinking them here with you and stuff, these Red Bull things. They kind of got a little kick to them, but It's a nasty taste. I guess you got to get used to it or something.
I was raised on Strawberry Crush. Come on, this I was born in the part of Indiana where it's not unusual. You go to the fried chicken place. Mom tears all the fry off of the chicken for the little kids, throws the chicken away, and feeds them the fry. It's only a matter of time, I think, before somebody sues Starbucks from drinking too much caffeine. Somehow they didn't know. Let's talk about this. Victoria. The coffee topic, Roth Radio, ruining it for everyone else except you, baby. Victoria, are you there?
Can you hear me?
I hear you perfectly. Go ahead.
Hi. Okay. Yeah, I go by Vava Vicky, and I used to sell lingerie.
I love it already.
I was a military wife, so I lived overseas, and you have a lot of wives that are missing their husbands. They're gone for 8-10 months at a time. So I sold lingerie and other. So the other was 80% of my sales. The one thing that would always show up at these parties that I would have would be a chocolate cake, and it had coffee baked into the cake.
Okay.
So they were drinking wine and champagne, and they were getting into the mood. But then the coffee cake at the end really perked them up. So when they went back to their husbands, hopefully it was just their husbands, there was definitely stories to tell the next day.
Outstanding. And is this a practice that you now maintain like on the weekends? Do you still eat coffee cake that has coffee in it? Does that give you the desired buzz?
No, my name's Vava Vicky, and also Vicky rhymes with sticky and everything else. So I just have a natural thing going on. I don't need anything. I just, you know. I am a natural aphrodisiac.
Va, va, voom, baby.
And you know what? I think that we ought to pay the dog, raise some money to go after Osama, okay, because he's got to go. we'll pay him in coffee.
Well, coffee is the reason why we're going to win this war. Va, va, voom.
Sticky.
I love that. See, now she's living testimonial to my earlier theory, which is, why can't you accomplish this in half the time? If coffee increases the libido, how often do you use that word? If coffee makes her feel sexier, wouldn't you accomplish twice as much in one third the time if you just pour it on all of the desired points on the map and licked it off? Plus, you'd still have half a cup of coffee for when you're done. You'd have time then to go sue the cigarette company for giving you cancer.
Hookers could triple their profits.
Mike, he wants to talk about coffee. A little caffeine in the morning. Roth Radio, go. You're on. Mike, are you there?
Dave, how you doing? It's definitely a aphrodisiac coffee.
How do you figure?
Stimuli for the sex.
How do you figure? What does it make you feel stimuli, or does it make her feel stimuli?
It gives me a little bit more zoom, if you get what I mean. I'm not going to say it on the radio.
Sure, I understand what you're saying. How old are you? How old are you? 33. How old were you when you first started drinking coffee regularly? We all tasted as kids, but how often before you got into the habit?
I never liked coffee. I didn't start drinking until I was in my 20s.
Okay, and now how often do you drink coffee?
I just drink about one in the morning, and I drink a big one at night for my session.
Okay, and it makes it like a kickstand from a Harley Davidson, right?
Oh, you got it. That's the way I ride too, baby. And Quick Check just came out with a coffee called Extreme Caffeine with quadruple the caffeine.
Wow. I remember, what was it, Joy Cola? Jolt Cola that had twice the what was this, the commentary?
Twice the sugar, twice the caffeine.
And that's what you used for hacking or whatever. I have a poster that I found in Germany, and you would only see this product in Germany, okay? It was called Afra Cola, A-F-R-I, like African, Afra Cola, okay? And it said something like 7 times the caffeine, and then in the bottom of the ad it said, warning, nothing natural has been anywhere near this beverage.
They took Joe Cola off the market for that reason, for health reasons. They took Joe Cola, that's why you don't see it no more.
Because people were having heart murmurs or what? They were getting hypertensive or something? Absolutely. My question now is, how long is it before somebody sues Starbucks because it's a drug? I OD'd on the drug and you didn't warn me.
Not too long. Can I say one more thing?
Please.
If I could say bosom on the air? I pour it on my wife's bosom, and she likes that, too, as well.
My point exactly. See, iced coffee works on your system better than hot coffee. Roth Radio, you join us for The Path of Excess. Generally leads to the Palace of Illumination here in New York, Philadelphia, Dallas, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach, 866-313-3733 if you're full of coffee or Red Bull like me. Whoa! A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, D, U, V, W, X, Y, Z. The first rap song.
Jordan. Do you know they make a Red Bull thing called Rockstar? Have you heard about that one?
Yeah, well, there's 19 varieties of this, and that's why I'm saying it's starting to line up like a pharmacy. It's more than the liquor store, right? And I'm wondering how soon before some celebutard. The word of the day goes to page 6 from the New York Post. We always read from the Post because they spell it best the most. This is a word I never knew. Celebutard. That's how they rated Paris Hilton and the general entourage there. I'm going to get a t-shirt that says celebutard. Animal, can you draw that up for me?
I'm going to hook it up for you this weekend.
Because I feel that I am a celebutard. Or at least I want to co-opt that word there. Anyway, did we lose the last coffee call? The Jones wears off quick. It's like Chinese food, huh? I'm going to sue somebody right after the show. I don't know who. I'm feeling litigious. So it's a legit question because, you have everybody, smokers sue Philip Morris for CAT scans. I'm going to sue the kimchi hot dog guy for indigestion. I'm going to sue the Eberhard Pencil Company for all my wrong mathematical equations on my FAA exam. This is going to be. And now, a final tribute. Do you know who? Go for it, baby. Swing it out. Say, three. 1, 2, 3, 9. Go! In the name of Wilson Pickett, turn the track up there, brother. Turn it up. Sit. Kathy Hilton, she's breaking out, baby. She's swinging it. She's taking it out. Get up, baby. Paris, you're up, baby. Sing it, bitch. Sing it. Here's Paris' sister. Roth Radio, New York, Philadelphia, Dallas, in the name of Wilson Pickett, everybody, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach. We made it to the end of the third week. Robin Bakai. Who loves you, Robin Bakai? BAKAY.com. Be young. Play it, baby. Play it now. Been reaching out, baby. DavidLeeRoth.com. Worldwide, DavidLeeRothShow.com. If you had an amazing time, tell your best friend. If you had a really creepy, creepy time, tell Paris Hilton. Because we're going to be here Monday. My sister, Lisa Roth. I don't know if she's going to be detracting or contributing. Roth Radio, New York, Philadelphia, Dallas, Boston, Cleveland, West Palm Beach. From Norway to Boston, baby. From Rio to Roanoke. Broadway to Cheyenne. Aces Wild. Yes, I am. I'm the Indiana Slammer, baby. I'm going to give you the California reach around. Look out, America.
Mornings.